I've gone ahead and equipped my epic axe.
Switching to explosive arrows.
Yeah, I'm gonna equip myself with a little, Four Wheels of Fury!
No way. There's no chugs in World of Warcraft!
Let's do this!
Leroy Jenkins!
And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode number 78, and that was Four Wheels of Fury. So
funnier for me than I think anyone else in the room.
Probably, because you've been in that. You've been there. Anybody ever whipped out a truck, a Tacoma?
No.
Okay.
No. But if anybody would, it would be a warlock. I'm just saying. And then they'd one-shot Nether Spite. Or whoever that was, whatever dragon that was.
Yeah, I had to throw Leroy in there because that was obviously what they were alluding to when they did that. So,
no doubt.
Put that in there anyway. It is this is episode number 78 coming to you live here from Montgomery at 1170 WACV. Big show. We got a really big show. and it's huge.
All right, Ed.
I know it's as good as that could ever be. It looked more than it sounded. Yeah, lots of stuff. I mean, I don't know how much time we're going to have for the news. I guess I should quit blabbing and get right down to it.
Yeah, because we got stuff. We got stuff coming in the second half of this hour. We got stuff coming in the first half of the next.
We do, and it's all good.
Lots of joy.
Lots of
it's
fun.
It's not cake, because...
Cake's a lie.
Cake is a lie. It's an absolute dirty lie. That's all there is to it. And if you don't know what we're talking about, shame on you.
Really? This is not a long game. This Portal does not take a long time to beat. Where did you start from today?
It takes a long time to beat when your laptop's in the repair shop.
Yeah, it really does. Say that.
I'm sure.
Man, it's a good thing you got it on the PC. I played the other day. I've had a really busy week. When I first got the orange box, I popped it open. I played a little bit of the Half-Life 2 campaign. I just wanted an instant comparison because I played through the PC campaign a couple times. I just wanted to see it and look at it and compare how it looked.
Right. What did you think of that?
It was a little poorer on the 360, but it is nothing that can't be accounted for by the fact that the textures are a little more compressed. It's all streaming off the disc, and all five of these things in this unbelievably amazing disc are on a single disc. So just considering those limitations of it being on a console, the fact that there is no installation, which I kind of like to think maybe would have happened if, you know, we go back to the old argument of the baseline 360 having a hard drive. But whatever. It was fine. It played fine. It looked fine. Not as crisp as on the PC, but it was fine. And the next thing I did was went straight to Portal after maybe a couple of hours in Half-Life 2. And I got to, I guess, the fifth test, which is nothing.
Yeah, no.
I mean, was it 19?
There's 19 test chambers.
19 test chambers. The first 16 are... Yeah. Fun, and you're just tripping along, and you're like, hey, there's nothing to it. There's nothing going on here. Simple little puzzle game. Oh, wait.
Yeah, it changes on you.
Yeah. So, but I started at maybe just like 15 minutes into the game, you know, from where I originally was today. It took me about 2.5 hours. So it's maybe about a 3-hour thing, your first time.
Yeah, yeah. Your second time gets easier. I went back and I listened to
Because you're gonna know.
Yeah, I went back and listened to the dev commentary and was like blowing through those stages.
That's my next step. Yeah, so. That's my next step. But it's a quick thing. But I gotta say, it is, you know, and I'm riding right off of a Portal high. I finished it just a few hours ago. But I have to say, all things considered, and I haven't completed everything, probably one of just the most perfect little experiences I've ever had after loading up and playing a game thing. Puzzle game, whatever it is, it's great. I can't recommend it enough. You'll be less of a person, you know, inside of yourself. You will feel like something less.
It's that whole cliche of if you buy one game this year.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know,
for the value, I mean, it's really.
It was so much fun, and I cannot get the song out of my head.
No, you can't.
No, you really can't. It's brilliant. I loved it. I can't say enough good things about it.
And we're gonna have the voice of GLaDOS, Ellen McLean. She is going to be on the show tonight. Also, Jonathan Colton, he will be on the show as well tonight. It's geekery in twos. I mean, lots of fun.
Perfect pair of people to have.
And it all came about today. I'm surprised.
We like to last minute this thing.
And actually, I don't like to last minute. It just seems to fall into place that way. I hate last-minuting these things, but that's what happens. All right, let's jump into... I tell you what, let's jump into the releases for the week real quick, because there's not that many.
It's pretty... I mean, it's a long list, but...
It's a long list. I'm going to kind of jump into here. Let's see. You get Table Tennis for the Wii, which seems to just naturally lend itself to what the Wii does, obviously. You've got Tony Hawk's Proving Ground, the, you know, the little skates competition, I guess you could say, which by all intents and purposes I've heard, skate has taken over the throne of Tony Hawk, from what I understand. But,
yeah.
We'll see. I don't play the skating games. Hoggy does.
When I saw that video of that dude...
Planting himself on the bench.
Planting himself on the bench after knocking his head on the sign. Man, I came close to loading it into my game flag queue right then.
It's really cool. It's great. So that gets released this week. Beautiful Katamari gets released this week as well. Let's see. Tuesday we get Crash of the Titans. Looking over this real quick. Fury on the PC. Heroes of Might and Magic 5 on the PC as well. Spider-Man 3 on the PSP. Let's see, and looking Zoo Tycoon 2 expansion pack for the PC as well. So there you go. There's a lot of other games coming out, but we just wanted to hit the high points because we're a little short on time this week. We've got tons of other stuff coming up. Let's see, the weekend news. On Tuesday, we heard rumors that we may get a Prince of Persia prequel, which is a lot of P's. And, you know, there are like two screens, but it's all rumor, you know, right now. Nothing for certain. Also, we got a look at Soldier of Fortune. For next gen stuff.
Yeah.
Did you take a look at any of that? Did you see any of that?
I'm still angry at Soldier of Fortune.
I know you are, yeah. But yeah, it's the same old shoot 'em and like limbs fly all over the place. It's still, you know, the same thing as it's always been, just next gen extreme. So you got that. Let's see, on Wednesday we got word that the final Oblivion content.
Yeah, that was today.
It got released
today. It's not very big, it's like 10 megs. I'm still. I don't know. I'm nowhere in that. In the progression on that game. I plink away at it every now and then, but I got the content nonetheless because...
It's free.
Yeah, free DLC is always good. I thought it was a little funny that they were just pretty clear about, that's it, this is the last, no more, expect nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does that indicate that they're working on something bigger? I don't know. Not that they haven't done enough. There's been plenty of extra content for that.
Also, Wednesday we heard word that the PlayStation Eye, we got more details on that. It will be a standalone product. You can buy it for, I think, $40. However, if you want to buy, you'll get the camera and Eye of Judgment for $60. Or is it, I think it's $70.
Is it, okay. Yeah, $70, you're right. Because we originally thought it was $60.
Yeah, I picked it up
at
Amazon for $60 before they changed the price.
But it went up to $70, that's what it was.
But it did go up to $70. So. And we're working hard trying to get somebody from Eye of Judgment on next week's show. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Good details. It's got some interesting microphone work. So that one of the things that the guy talking about it said that it may finally do away with a headset for the PS3 because it can filter out background noise and pick up only your voice, and also filter and also carry over that voice. What I'm wondering is, can it broadcast loud enough the voice of who I'm playing with over my game effects and everything else that's going on? It's interesting, and we'll get to play with it next week and find out all about that stuff. Lots of news came from the Wii Camp last week. You know, Nintendo had their big press conference, and there was tons of news. You got keyboard support for the Wii. There was, what else did we get for that thing? A bunch of WiiWare.
Two Wii boys right here. Come on.
Yeah. you guys chime in.
They added.
It's your penance for not playing Portal.
I wanted to play Portal. I paid for Portal. I don't have a machine to play Portal on. Go ahead.
But yeah, they announced basically WiiWare is going to be their version of Live Arcade.
Correct. Which you wonder, are you going to get a hard drive out of that? What's going to happen?
Don't know. They going?
Doesn't look like it.
No, it doesn't.
And also, go on to other news, new characters announced for Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Who's that?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, we got Sonic for Smash Bros. Brawl the next day.
The very next day, the bad's got to come with the good.
Yeah.
Is that Brawl's been delayed.
The release date's a lie.
Yeah. Release date's now February of 08.
Yeah, so February of 08.
Does it to us again.
Yeah. Although, we got word that we're going to have 12-player online Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a possibility of for that game anyway, doing away with friend codes.
I don't believe it.
I don't either.
Not for a second.
I would like it, but...
The extinction of friend codes is a lie. Everything's a lie now. I can put everything in front of it's a lie.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's great. Love doing that. But yeah, so lots of details there from the Wii camp of things. Over 100 titles in development for WiiWare, which is great news. Love that. You know, the more the merrier. That's always
assuming
good.
That's like over the next year or so, and not over the next 5 years.
Yeah. Then Thursday came. Thursday brought with it some interesting news. Some from a guy whose game we've already talked about, Gabe Newell. He had a few words he wanted to say about the PS3, and I think he had some words he said about the 360 as well.
Gabe doesn't like consoles.
No, he really doesn't.
He's never liked them because it means he has to, you know, spend time thinking about putting things out on those things, and he doesn't like doing that.
Well, maybe he should have thought twice about the, you know, I don't know, how comfortable he would be making a business alliance with EA, because that's what was going to happen when that happened. It was going to put the brakes on his, you know, on the speed of his development. It's why we didn't get this earlier. Not that now I care anymore, because I have it and it's beautiful. But, you know, we should have had this stuff sooner. But, you know, consoles. Although, I got it on a console, so I don't know how upset I can possibly be about the situation. But yeah, you're right. He doesn't really like them. Although his complaints about the PS3 don't necessarily... I get it. I know that he's an authority on what he's saying. I know that his opinion is valid. But the things he seems to be complaining about aren't things that necessarily worry me. I mean, the system is there. It's in the market. Let's just make some games for it. That's really it. And it seemed kind of strange that his comments were so harsh, considering that the Orange Box was going to be released on the PS3. Or maybe he thinks that gives him license to say it, or maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. I think it's important that he said it, you know, because Valve does really good work. And I've thought for a long time that he had the right ideas about where certain aspects of this industry were going. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it was one thing when he said, what, almost a year ago, that, like, they should just toss the PS3 aside and have a do-over. But now it's just like, well, it doesn't really matter what you consider to be the failures. The system is here. It's on the market. Maybe you should make a game or two for it, much as you don't like that, much as it might be beneath you.
Well, he also had a complaint about the 360, saying that it makes his life worse because it doesn't have a hard drive. Or at least they have to develop with that in mind.
Yeah, yep.
That this doesn't come with a hard drive. And I kind of see where he's coming from with the release of the Orange Box.
He's thinking like a PC developer. I mean, maybe not from the consumer end, but I think definitely from the developer end. It's nice. It would be nicer if they could just
assume there's a hard drive there. Yeah.
If they could just utilize that feature always. And they're not allowed to do that.
I really don't know many people. I don't know that I know anyone who owns a 360 that does not have a hard drive.
But at the same time, a lot of the people that we talk to, and this is perfectly valid, they don't like the idea of installing data to the hard drive. They don't like it, even though it would really only have to happen one time. But it would involve a little bit more file management over the long term, space management, having to delete things and sort of complications. I just think that it would, you know, I think it's a shackle that I'd like to see released from the developers. I think we could do a lot more interesting stuff if again, the baseline unit had a hard drive.
Also on Thursday, and this will pretty much be the rest of the conversation, probably, EA strikes again and picked up BioWare and Pandemic Studios there. It was the news of last week. I mean, here we're coming off the heels of the Bungie-Microsoft situation, and then we roll into BioWare and Pandemic being acquired by EA. And I don't know. It's mixed feelings on that. I've heard word that EA's trying to change the way people look at them in the way that they handle these buyouts and the way that they... I know when they bought Criterion, I was all sorts of nervous for my burnout. But they made an agreement with Microsoft at the time for Burnout 3 Takedown to be online with Xbox. At the time, they were not. EA would not have anything to do with Xbox Live. Like, no, we don't want to do that. You won't let us do our own thing. But they eventually had an agreement, and they let it on there. And they did a good job so far. I've loved every Burnout series that's come out so far, Burnout game that's come out so far in the series. Who knows about this, though? BioWare and Pandemic, you got Mass Effect on one end, which we know is an Xbox 360 exclusive, the first one anyway.
I think that's, as far as that's concerned, that's going to be the most important difference. Because it's going to be exclusive to the 360, and I know that that's something that Microsoft wanted. I know that they would love to have had all three of them
right.
as Xbox 360 games. You want to play Mass Effect, you want to be involved in the entire arc of the story, you're going to have a 360, and that's all there is to it. And that's just not the case now. But I don't think anything good can come of this. Usually, I'm thinking that it's better for more people to experience things in different places, but not if it involves being a part of EA. Not if you're absorbed by that thing. Not at all. I just can't think of any situation where things got better when EA ate something that was otherwise and, you know, before that point, beautiful.
Like, my own experience was that was the Burnout series, and I've...
Well, did it get better, or did it just not get worse? Because there's a difference in the two. And, like...
It's a good question.
And I mean, not getting worse isn't necessarily a good thing, but I don't know. I just don't...
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question.
They're complicating the future. They're complicating BioWare's future, and they're really complicating Mass Effect's future in particular. So they're going to make the development process, I think, a lot more difficult, not to mention just make their lives harder because of how EA operates. And I think that, I don't know, I think there's a chance that could really turn Mass Effect into something I don't want to come close to.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know. And I don't know. Sometimes I chastise you because I think you'd like whatever Burnout was, just because it's Burnout. As long as it provided you with, like, a few of the things that you really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Well, the Burnout Paradise brand is a new thing. They completely from the ground up have changed everything, even to the point of the way the cars handle, which is a big deal for me. It scares me. Every time they've mentioned some new mechanic in the gameplay, it's always scared me. But I've always had my faith in them because they haven't let me down so far. But, you know, if they screw it up, I'll be the first one to tell you because I'm that much of a fan. I don't want to say... A lot of people would think, well, you're biased. That's why you like everything. I'm like, no, I genuinely like what they've done. If
no,
they ever screwed
that.
It up,
yeah.
I'd tell you. I don't
really?
Like Burnout Dominator.
Okay.
On the PS2 or that I'm playing on the PS3.
Right.
There's no crash mode in it, which I kind of enjoy having. It may be that I'm just playing it on a PS3 and I've always played my Burnout games on the Xbox. I've never really changed that. So maybe that has something to do with it, too. But... I'm not so sure that even if it was on the Xbox or 360 that I would still have a problem with it. So, you know, if they ever screwed up, I'd be the first one to tell you, but still, this is more about EA and
yeah,
know,
no.
Their
it,
Pac-Man
it really
initiative
is.
To
Well, what it's really about is the fact if this was a pair of studios, or particularly let's just talk about BioWare, if this was any one studio that nobody really cared about, that was just somebody, you know, that did small things contributed in some way or another to a larger project, it wouldn't matter. Nobody would honestly care. But BioWare has done amazing work over the last 10-15 years.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact that they're not an independent, not even close to being independent anymore,
yeah.
that is extremely tragic. The old relationship of independent developer working a deal on a per game basis with, you know, a publisher, that was something that was really attractive. That was something that we could all sort of trust. Because if things went bad, then you never dealt with each other again. If they went really well, then maybe you got a little bit closer. But the fact anymore is that all you're going to have are publishers who own developers.
Yeah.
You know?
Particularly, you know, EA being the one with the reputation of not coming out with anything risky or new or innovative.
Yeah.
Rehash past success is,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's a little bit frightening. Largely because, and one of the reasons I'm so excited about Mass Effect, is that it's a completely ground-up original IP. It's not based on anything else. It's an entirely new universe, and they're trying to tell a series of complicated stories in that universe. That's really exciting.
And what happens when an independent developer, you know, gets bought up by a big corporation? Well, Bungie makes Halo for the rest of their lives, you know.
And then runs
BioWare
for their life.
Ends up making, you know, Mass Effect for the rest of their lives until, you know,
either
everybody quits or they get independent again.
Yeah.
And when everybody quits, it takes a while to, you know, get your feet back and start making another game.
The basic thing is that you've stifled their creativity. They're not allowed to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
You might say that they have a lot of latitude to do whatever they want, but frankly, they're not deciding what they work on anymore. And the whole thing that made them beautiful, the whole wonderful thing about them was that they decided what they made. They sat down in front of a blank sheet of paper, a blank computer screen, a blank whiteboard, whatever, and built a universe, built a world, created something. Now they're just going to be the geniuses at work behind someone else's idea.
Yeah.
I fear. That's what it really boils down to. Are we going to see anything like, anything interesting come out of Irrational again? I mean, I know it's 2K, you know, not EA, but at the same time, it's like they're not their own men anymore.
Yeah.
I hate it. I really hate it. Doesn't mean that I won't be down with Mass Effect, because, you know, the deal isn't even going through until long
January,
after Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Mass Effect is done and shipped.
Not to say that they won't release something later on, Mass Effect, whatever, that includes everything from Mass Effect 1 and some extra content for all of the consoles to get everybody caught up. But anyway, we've got to take a break real quick. Two other news points that I want to mention that hopefully we can get to later on in the show if we got some time is the weapons list from Call of Duty 4 that was released.
Weapons and maps.
And the maps. 16
maps.
Really, 13, because we played three of them.
Now, but, whatever, man. We were enthralled to all three of those. Those maps aren't complete. We haven't necessarily gotten everything out of them with every game mode, and we sure haven't played those maps with every weapon available. So in my mind, those maps are not exhausted of their of everything they have to give. 16 maps, I would have been extremely happy with 8. And I know, given everything we've heard about how well focused they've been towards their end product, both in single player and multiplayer, I really feel the downloadable content in the background. Somewhere maybe around January. So I'd be surprised if 16 was the final number.
I don't think it will be. But anyway, we've got to take a break when we come back. Hopefully, by the time we get back, it's quite a big commercial break. When we get back, we will have Ellen McLean on the phone with us, who is the voice. She's in Half-Life 2 as a voice. And I can't remember exactly what it was. She's the voice in Team Fortress 2 that kind of helps through the game a little bit and it's just the disembodied voice there of that game. And she's also the voice of GLaDOS in Portal, which you've heard if you played the game and you've either fallen in love with or hated or enjoyed the insults that she's thrown at you. And there's plenty to come. But hopefully we'll have her on the phone here when we get back here at 1170 WACV with more Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio. Here at 1170 WACV. If you're not familiar with that, then again, you haven't touched Portal, and you need to. I really can't stress that enough with that game. It's just so good. And part of the reasons that game is so very good is because of the woman that we have on the phone right now with us. Her name is Ellen McLean, and she is the voice of... Well, your instructor, your
GLaDOS.
Not necessarily your friend. Ellen, are you there?
I am, Scott.
Hi, Ellen.
Hey, Ellen.
Hello.
This is very exciting for me.
It's very exciting for us.
Yeah, it really is.
It's this is very cool. And we first off want to thank you for being on the show tonight. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
It was such last minute, and thank you for coming together for just.
Well, it's because of my husband. It's because of John Patrick Lowry.
Let me get him on the line. He's also on the other line. Let me conference him in here. John, are you there?
Yeah, I sure am.
There he is.
Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, John. Now, both of you, from what you're telling me in the email correspondence, both of you work with Valve. Both of you have roles in the Valve games.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I was working with Valve before Ellen was. But it's interesting that they hired her without knowing that she was married to me, and so it's been kind of one big happy family since then.
Now, what roles have you played? What's like your biggest part in the series?
Well, I was all kinds of citizens in Half-Life 2, and I was Odessa Cubbage. That's a character that some people found weird, anyway.
And, hey, gave me a rocket launcher.
Right,
and you're talking
it really helped.
I'm the Australian maniac in Team Fortress. I forget his name. Kind of a skinny Australian guy. I don't know if you played the game yet.
No, we haven't. We haven't cracked open Team Fortress 2 yet.
Your wife has distracted us.
No, the fan response to her has been amazing. We have gotten emails from all over the world just gushing all over her performance. Much deserved, I must say.
Yeah, we agree. We agree completely.
It's because I really am passive aggressive.
How has this been for you? Now, I mean, you've gone from, it's literally within a week, it's just exploded for you.
Well, the Valve people told me, when the show was going to be, the game was going to be released, and just the same day, we started getting emails, and it's very gratifying.
Just
as an actor, you usually get applause as your you know satisfaction, and to be on a computer game, it's different because you know we've been on them before and not gotten any response. So I don't know. I guess people just Googled me and found my email address and have been complimenting the work, but
I
share it with the Valve people because they are incredible and the writing.
That's what I did. That's how I got in touch with you guys. This is possible because you guys are in the same house on the same phone line. We're having an interesting echo that we're getting.
Should I hang up or?
I'm not sure if there's a way you can put that phone on hold. Or maybe go to a different room. Separate
I'm
yourselves.
Yeah, I'm in a different room now. Does that help?
That actually.
In a different room now.
That sounds
there
great.
We go. Much better. Much
okay,
better.
Brilliant. Stay in there, honey.
You should listen to that woman because she's very.
very convincing.
Yeah, if she's anything like it is in the game, it's there were some creep out moments with your voice. And by the way, I must say, if you ever get into any multiplayer matches, you yourself. You're somewhat of a trash talker there towards the end.
Yes.
Telling me I'm adopted and that nobody likes me.
No, I know. Isn't that wonderful? You know, when, I don't even know if I can name the Valve people because they are supposed to be as a team, and you're not supposed to know who did what because, quite frankly, they all do many things. But I do know the person who wrote that line, and I questioned him about it. I said, this is pretty mean. What if some of the people playing this game were adopted? Because we don't want to give anybody a complex. But she literally goes crazy, and I got an email from one person who said that it was, sort of in the style of Hal. Of course, from Stanley Kubrick, 2001 A Space Odyssey. And we talked about that. When I was recording, we talked about how, Hal was passive-aggressive. Sounded gentle, sounded nice, but was murderous.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, very much.
And GLaDOS, she does lose her mind towards the end.
Because we burn it.
She was spouting cake recipes.
It was wonderful. And it was far more interesting, just to make a timely comparison, far more interesting than watching Cortana lose her mind in Halo 3.
In Halo 3, yeah.
Personally. I enjoyed watching, I enjoyed your rendition of an AI going rampant.
Well,
far, far and away more than I enjoyed Halo 3. So I intend to enjoy
it
repeatedly.
Maybe I have experienced
it. It's really not that far a trip for her to go crazy.
I know. It's driving me crazy, and John always says it's a short drive.
How did they get the performance out of you that they wanted? I mean, it would seem hard for me to say, let's get a voice actress in here, and this is how we want her to sound. It would be, I'm not sure how I can describe that because it's very hard to describe the way that that GLaDOS interacts with the player in the sense of the tone that's being used and the things that she says and some of the little sketches not sketches but little shakeups she has in mid speech and things like this. Just how did they get that across to you that this is the sound that we want? How did that develop?
Well. It had been decided that GLaDOS, that it was a computer. GLaDOS was a computer. And interestingly, they had a digitized voice that is from some program, and of course it's copyrighted, and they, had sort of been using it for experimentation purposes. But then they had to have somebody else do it. So they would play a computer voice for me, and I would sound like a computer. But then they wanted, actually an emotional life. And they would, give me direction. Okay, she needs to be angrier, or she needs to be, trying to trick them. The other thing that's interesting about GLaDOS is GLaDOS is a liar. She's just a liar.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to fool the player and have the player trust me, and it's all a lie.
I tell you, there was nothing. There was no more greater satisfaction than not doing what you were telling me to do.
You didn't get any cake.
No, got no cake whatsoever. But yeah, when I would go into some place and you would tell me you're not supposed to be there, or you're not supposed to be here, or where are you going? You're going the wrong way. I don't know why you're going. You should stop now. It was just so much fun to defy that voice. However, at the same time, and let's go back to the turrets, because the turrets sound a whole lot like GLaDOS. A little bit of variation, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually sad whenever you would put one of those, whenever you would, you know, put one. I realize they're out there to kill me, but when one of them would fall over and say, I don't blame you, or I don't hate you.
Well, we tried some different things with the turret voices. You know, I did... some different runs through the copy, the lines, and gave them, different sounds. But I think they, the Valve guys and ladies, there were both sexes involved, men and women, created this game. They liked the sort of cute voice, the diminutive voice, which was sort of pitched higher than GLaDOS, but kind of, this kind of thing. and so when they had the voice, that also, they told me that also, affected how the design would be done, what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because they liked that cute little voice. So I hope I'm communicating this effectively.
Oh, no, you're doing a great job of it. One thing, thank you so much for giving me a companion cube. I was very glad when I got that, and then subsequently sad.
Isn't that horrible that you have to kill the companion cube to win the game?
But you make me kill my companion cube.
Well, the companion cube is having cake at the end.
Yeah, the companion cube's there at the end with the cake.
With the robotic arm and the orb
and
the cake.
Yes, but you have to betray.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah. The companion cube. Well,
as you say, we have to euthanize it.
The primary writer, he's very funny, very interesting, has a great grasp of the culture from many different levels. And he thought it would be a nice idea to have the player betray their friend.
Evil is what
it is. So it really is. It is kind of twisted.
Well, yeah. And it's even more fun the fact that it's a cube.
Right.
It's a cube, and you felt bad. I mean, granted, it blocked little energy orbs for me, and I thank it. But
we got a great email from somebody in Denmark who says that they're chanting "the cake is a lie" in the streets.
I don't doubt that. That has become, I mean, seriously, that has become, there's so many little catchphrases that are within this game that could just...
Another kid from, I don't know, Minnesota or California or someplace says they all have the song, it's still alive, on their iPods, and they're all singing along with it on the school bus. The bus driver is now playing Van Halen at, 90 decibels just to drown out all the kids singing still alive.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you guys have spawned God knows how many T-shirts, I would think, that are going to come out of this.
I want a T-shirt. Of course, my favorite line is, if at first you don't succeed, you fail. I like that one.
I've got some lines here on CD that I was going to try and go through. I don't know how this is going to sound. I don't know that you can actually hear it. And I'm not there's. I've got tons of audio here that we grabbed from the game. And I want to try. I want to try and find some of the more outstanding ones here for a second. Let me play one of these real quick.
Okay.
Hey, it's me.
Okay, that was you saying, hey, it's me, when you were getting shot at by one of the other turrets. What's another one that we have?
And there's an achievement for that.
Yeah, there is.
There is an achievement for that.
My fault.
Oh, that was my fault. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
No hard feelings.
can you guys hear that? Can you? Yeah. Okay, good.
Please
you guys.
Put me down.
That's another one.
I see you.
That's just spooky. I don't like that at all.
It is October.
I had difficulty hearing that. What did I say?
I see you.
Oh, yeah.
But in a very
just
monstrous tone of evil.
Mm-hmm. You can imagine being married to this woman.
It's kind of like Children of the Damned.
Very close to it, I would say. I would say exactly.
That's an old movie.
Oh, but we know what you're talking about. I'm looking for one of the longer ones that we have. And not from the turrets, but from some of the other ones. Let's see here. Okay, the CD's not working. But anyway, we'll get back to that later. So, how did they get in touch with you? How did they find you? Did you audition?
Well,
what was the...
I did an audition. Our agent, Jamie Lopez, with the Actors Group here in Seattle, a wonderful guy, sends us, he gets, you know, emails and calls from companies, and they'll send him a little bit of the copy that they need with a description of, you know, what the character's like. And here at home, in our home studio, John and I make recordings, turn them into MP3 files, email them to our Actors Group website, and then our agent picks them up from there,
mm-hmm.
and gets them to the, you know, companies doing the auditions. So I'm sure many other people were auditioning as well. But voiceover work has changed so dramatically in just the last, you know, 6-7 years. You used to actually go someplace and do an audition, but now we do all the auditions at home. We record them here and send them off, and that's what I did with this particular one, and Valve liked my audition and then had me come in, and there were many hours in the studio, Pure Audio, here in Seattle, and there were many hours where they tried things at first, you know, sort of as the game was developing, you know, trying things at first, and then they
keep trying until you run out of cake, correct?
Well, exactly right. But, you know, just trying different ideas for what the storyline would be. And I know that the voicing the turrets was a later idea that came in.
But didn't Val first use you for the computer voice in the Half-Life 2 on some website that you go to help out or something like that?
Well, I'm the voice of Overwatch.
But I think that the first thing they used you for was on the Half-Life 2 website, where you could go and find out about it, and it was more kind of a promotional thing, and they had you do kind of a, as I recall, they had you do kind of a computer voice for that, and that's what gave them the idea to bring you back for Overwatch and to bring you back for GLaDOS.
Well, that sounds familiar. I think
yes.
He's right. I think my husband John is correct.
And how did they... you know, we talked on the phone before you before you called in today, and you were giving me a little bit of the backstory. But how did you get involved with Team Fortress 2? You know, you ended up on basically every game that's on the Orange Box.
They really like her.
Yeah, well, the players at Portal will see why. She's just wonderful in the role that she's in. What do you do in Team Fortress 2?
Well, that's Overwatch. That
okay.
is the I don't know if I have a rank or who I am, but I'm the character that helps you through the game. I'm sort of at the, you know, I'm the Overwatch. You know, I don't go with you through the game, but I'm watching what you're doing and I warn you about things.
Yeah.
You know, I say there's an enemy around the corner, or this is going to happen, or this is going to happen.
And
I know that's what I do.
And how did they pull you in for that? I mean, it's...
I did an audition.
Again, more auditions.
Again, I did an audition here at home. And that was interesting, because when they sent that audition, they were actually sort of talking about a Scottish accent. And one of the emails I got, and I am going to answer all my emails from people. I'm very pleased to get them. I'm going to answer them all. One of the players said, you know, that they liked my work on Overwatch, the sort of British woman in charge. And I thought that was interesting, because they they wanted her to be, you know, British Isles, but not, you know, a Cockney or someplace particularly specific. Mm-hmm. So if you listen carefully to that character, there's a little bit of a Scottish lilt.
Well, there's so much. We have a chat room, in addition to doing the show, we have a chat room where people can go in and interact when they listen to the show live on the stream. One of the people in the chat room wants you to do the German Team Fortress 2 voice. However, is it...
No, but I have to tell you about that. That is not me.
Okay.
The German Team Fortress 2, and then we had talked about that before, Scott, and I finally realized what you were talking about.
Yeah, okay, good.
The German Team Fortress 2, they send off, you know, what I did, and then that is translated, and another actor does it.
Okay.
So that's not me.
All right.
And I don't know who that person is.
Well, let me ask you this before we let you go. We've only got a few more minutes left. In fact, by the way, we're having Jonathan Colton on in the next hour.
Yes, and you still want me to call?
I would still love you to call in.
I would like to say hello to Jonathan.
That would be wonderful.
That'd be good for us.
I would love that. That would be great. One of the things I'm going to ask you is, what is your favorite line in Portal that you get to speak? What was your favorite? Now, I understand. Now, there's a ton, like towards the end there at the game when we're kind of disassembling you, there is a ton of lines that you spout off. Talking about how when we die, no one's going to mourn us because we have no friends.
blah, 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 blah. That's you.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like.
That's what you sound like. It's just great stuff. We've got a ton of favorite lines. I'm curious what your favorite line is from the game.
Well, I really like the character. I feel for her. I think she's lonely. and you know, this is her only way of, you know, connecting to humanity. And
is by killing them.
I suppose it has to be, you know, if at first you don't succeed, you fail.
Yeah, that's going to be your favorite. Well,
I think so. And then, you know, she just becomes terribly, terribly excited about, you know, the cake and all the cake recipes you start spouting out. And then, you know, you're probably adopted.
Great line. Dana, did you have something?
I just wanted to comment because I've been researching about you since I found out y'all were going to be on the show, and Ellen's star meter on IMDb is up 533% this week.
That's awesome.
John's is also up 79%. That's respectable. But to put that in perspective, Ellen's is up 533%. Angelina Jolie is down 16%.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you, Angelina Jolie is in much better physical shape than I am.
Yeah, but we like you a lot more.
We like you a lot more, yeah. Thank you. We like you a ton more, and we want to thank the both of you for being on the show tonight.
Yes, thank you.
We really do appreciate it, and I think, I don't know, I'm going to have to ask you a favor whenever, I'll send you an email, but I would love for you in the GLaDOS voice to give us some bumpers as far as Evil Avatar Radio is concerned, because that would be wonderful to have. So I may send those out to you if you don't mind doing that. I work in radio myself, and I know lending your voice to such things. It's like, well, I don't want to do that. You going to pay me? you pay me, I'll do it. But yeah, we'll talk again, and thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
You're so welcome. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
This really was exciting for me, and I'll call back to say a quick hi to Jonathan.
Hey, real quick, and you probably haven't, but has anybody, and you probably can't even say, has anybody contacted you about reprising the role?
Well...
Everybody does.
Anyone from Valve contacted
you? Well, the Valve people, you know, they pin great hope on these games and on the new game Portal, and there was wonderful creative energy involved with Portal, and you know they have high hopes for it, and I'm sure that if there is, you know, a call for more Portal, more GLaDOS, that, you know, they'll be ready to do it.
There will be.
If they're listening,
they are wonderful people and wonderful creative artists, really wonderful creative artists.
And Portal is part of the Half-Life 2 universe.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's
I
right.
They just want to keep expanding that and expanding that. No, they've been pretty positive. I mean, everybody has just been excited about this whole project. They took us out and took us through the offices over there, over in Bellevue, and took us out to a wonderful lunch, and we brought our nephew up from Oregon, and he went through and got to meet everybody. And, I mean, they're just very excited about all this. And so I would think that you have a real good bet that you'll hear more GLaDOS in the future.
Well, that would be great. Once again, we want to thank you guys for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank
really
you for your time.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you all.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good stuff there. We have got to take a break, and when we come back, it'll be 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we will have Jonathan Colton on the phone and talk with him about writing the InSong to Portal, how he got involved with that, and, you know, working with Ellen. There's a lot of stuff there, and we're going to go over it when we come back here 6 minutes after the top of the hour, and we'll discuss news. We'll take your calls as well. You can call us 334-272-9228 if you'd like to also talk to Jonathan, or you can email us everyone at evilavatarradio.com. We'll be back with more here on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It's the second hour of the show, and of course, we just got done talking to GLaDOS on the phone earlier. We just got talking to Ellen McLean, and now we are talking to Jonathan Colton's on the line. Jonathan, you there?
I sure am.
Hey, Jonathan.
It's great. There's probably a chat room full of people screaming right now, man.
In chat rooms, nobody can hear you scream.
That's very true. Very, very true. Number one, thank you for doing the show tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. Me on.
My second question is that your cell phone that popped up on my cell phone's caller ID?
No, it's worse. It's my home phone.
Oh, even worse. I'm going to make a lot of money. No, your secret's safe with me.
Oh, good.
No problem there. Man, how's it been for you? We were talking to Ellen, and she was saying that, you know, in just the last week, her popularity, her email, her inbox has just exploded.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced a sharp uptick in traffic and emails and new people coming to the site that have never heard of me before. It's been great.
And it's been very good. Today you just posted the story of how this all came together, which was my primary question that I wanted to ask you. And I was wondering if I know you've already written it out once, but if you could you go back over to how did this evolve? How did it come to be?
So I guess it all started when I was playing a show in Seattle and signing autographs and saying hello to the audience after the show as I usually do, and a couple of people came up and said, "Hey, we're from Valve and we're big fans." And I said, "Oh, it's great to meet you." And then I've long been a huge fan of Half-Life, they contacted me at some point in the future and said, "Do you want to do something together?" I said, "Sure, yes, please." You know, and we got together and discussed a few things. We didn't really know what we were going to do, and then somebody hit upon this idea of, why not write a song in the voice of this character GLaDOS, from it sort of went from there.
Now, how did? Seriously, how do you write a song like that?
Well, you know, it was, I have to say it was easier than I feared it was going to be, and I give a lot of credit to the writer, Eric Wolpaw, because it's really, the character is so well formed, and you know, they gave me a sort of alpha version of the game to play through, and most of Ellen's audio was there, and I just thought it was hilarious, you know. Not only that, but it's the same kind of character that I'm always writing about, which is this sort of passive, aggressive, monstrous personality.
Oh, you got loads of it with her.
Well, that's the thing, is she's so sweet. I don't know how she knows how to do passive aggressive so well, but she nails it every time.
Well, it's just so emotionless. There's just like there's an emptiness when she's talking to you.
Yeah, there's an emptiness, but at the same time, there's this like you can detect a very bright core, tiny core of anger.
Yeah,
I think she's just I think she's just brilliant at it.
Emotionless anger.
The emotionless
anger. She's got that whole one-hand clapping thing going on.
That's right. But, you know, they Eric and I had long discussions about the character and you know, some of the backstory that he imagined. You know, it's not actually in the game, but some stuff that he wrote up for himself to kind of make it all come together. And you know, I just really sort of tried to channel that character, and it was a lot easier than I thought, which I guess says something about my personality, too. Maybe I'm secretly angry all the time. Who knows?
You've got some great work out there. I was playing some of the songs from your website in the room here before we went live. I got to see you at PAX.
Oh, you did? Oh, great.
I was there in the audience with a couple of the other people from Evil Avatar, and we got to see you in PAX, of course. Your little love affair that you had with the camera for a bit.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
and then of course your brains, which is like the highlight of the highlight of the concerts at PAX, is that performance right there.
Well, I mean, it's been the highlight of my performance career. That particular song. That was such a huge audience, and they were so ready to pretend to be zombies.
Oh.
You know, like I don't think I will ever have another crowd. That's so behind that idea.
Yeah, you've got that many people. You're on stage and you tell that many people to yell, you know, all we want to do is eat your brains. That's got to be a little intimidating, I would think.
It was intimidating enough, and then I tell them to act like zombies. What was I thinking?
That's right. We all did the mumbling voices, and we stuck our arms out, and it's great.
It was actually kind of creepy.
Very. Hey, I was in the crowd, and it was kind of creepy. It was great stuff, though, and so thank you for doing that at PAX. That was, you know, that's one of the things I never actually got to see while you were at PAX as far as after the show.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, man, thanks for a great performance out there.
Oh, well, I just had a blast.
How did that come about? Obviously, someone from Penny Arcade contacted you, but how did that all...
Yeah, someone at Penny Arcade, gosh, how did they find me? I don't know, but, it was Tycho, got in touch with me. And said you should come do a thing at PAX. I said sure, and then later on it came to pass, and I had never been before, but I just loved it. You know, it's so the great thing about PAX is it really is fan based in a way that say E3 was not. You know, E3 was such a trade show, mm-hmm. basically, and this is just really a big party for people who like gaming. It's so awesome, you know.
Oh yeah, it's great. And have they contacted you maybe for next year's PAX?
We have talked about next year, yeah, and we're both interested in making it happen. So I hope that it does.
Oh, I feel
me too. I might actually go next year.
Yeah, I feel certain that it'll happen. But it'll be great. Now you like to play games yourself. Have you been playing any games recently other than Portal, other than the Orange Box?
No, you know I have to say I have very little time for gaming these days. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and so my prime gaming hours are usually spent making macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, and so, and you know, then the wife comes home, she just wants to watch television, so I can't really monopolize the TV shooting aliens or anything like that. So it's interesting, it's sort of a modern problem, you know, how do you fit in the hours of gaming into a busy modern lifestyle, you know? But I've always been a huge gaming guy, and when I played Portal, because I'd seen that little teaser trailer that was floating around the web a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's awesome, you know. And then I played the game, and I was just amazed. I thought it was so much fun and such a great idea.
What is what's your favorite part of Portal?
My favorite part. Oh gosh, you know.
You're more than welcome to say the song at the end credits. That's fine.
Yeah, the song at the end credits is pretty awesome. I love the part when you're supposed to be incinerated and you sort of escape.
Yeah.
And she starts trying to backpedal a little bit.
Yeah, there was
thank you for playing along.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, this is a big party. This is a party with cake.
And that part where you're actually in the bowels of the building, and she says, you remember that time when I was going to kill you? And you were like, no way.
Yeah.
That was just great
we're
stuff.
We're going to have such a laugh about that later.
Yeah, we're going to. Good stuff. Good stuff. We've got it set so that our listeners can call in and ask you questions directly. So,
oh, great.
If anybody does want to call in and talk to Jonathan, you're more than welcome to. 334-272-9228. Want to put a plug out for his website, jonathancolton.com. Because that's where you can grab his music. From what I understand, that's the best way for people to get the music as far as supporting you.
Absolutely, yeah. Buy direct from me, for goodness sake.
Yeah, exactly. And you can buy his entire library on there for one fee.
Nice. That's right.
And get everything. So it's good stuff, and I want to jump back to that a little bit later. How much time do you have with us tonight?
I'm not sure. How much time do you need me for?
Well, we want to take some calls from our listeners, but I also want to talk a little bit about how you kind of go over that whole thing that I think you've told people probably at every performance you've done. And of course, it's, you know, on the website as well, but how you got involved to doing what you're doing.
Yeah, sure.
But let's go to the phone lines right now and talk to Mike O'Hara, who's on the line. Mike, you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. What do you have to say to Jonathan?
Hey, how's it going, Jonathan?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Hey, I got a question for you. What was the inspiration behind the song, Re Your Brains? I'm guessing zombie movies?
Yeah, you know, sure, zombie movies. I'm a fan of the zombie movies. You know, I also worked in an office for a long time, mm-hmm. and I've always been sort of obsessed with that kind of office speak, double speak that doesn't make any sense, and you know, people seem to fall into that pattern of speaking without really knowing that they're doing it because that they're in an office and that's how you're supposed to talk, you know. So I don't know. I remember I was just sort of walking around trying to think of what I was going to write that week, and that line popped into my head, all we want to do is eat your brains. And I knew right away that it was a zombie who was just trying to explain himself. You know, he was just like, what's the big deal? Can't we get past this? And then from there, it just sort of morphed into, he was this office character.
Yeah, because that was one of those, a friend of mine that works for another online station introduced me to your music, and I was like, I'll give it a try, and it was the first song I bought, oddly enough. Now I'm hooked.
Oh, great. Good. Yeah.
Jonathan, I got to say, man, the amount of catchiness, the amount of brain embedding that
there's hooks all over your song, man.
Yeah.
And they leave a barb.
Oh, thank you. That's very good to hear. I like that.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for calling in, man.
Thanks much.
All right. I'm going to press a button here and hope I don't hang up on Jonathan. Hey, I didn't. Great. Very happy. We've got another caller on the line. Their name says that they're adopted. That's what was written on there. I'm not sure, so let's go. Hey, caller, you're on the line with Jonathan.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello.
It's Ellen McClain.
Oh, hi, Ellen. How are you?
I'm fine, and you know, I saw you at Bumbershoot.
You did?
I waited in line twice.
Oh,
for
my
your
goodness.
First show, I couldn't get in.
Oh.
And the second day, I came back, and I waited in line 2 hours, and it was worth it. You were so wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I particularly liked the song about what people do in the spring.
Oh, yes. You're referring to 1st of May.
Yes.
Yes, we can't really discuss that on the radio. But.
No, I know. I had mentioned to Scott that I didn't think that was appropriate.
Yeah, probably not.
What a great song.
Oh, thank you. I had no idea you were there. I wish I had known. I would have given you a special shout out.
Well, I was in the fourth row, and I was sitting next to a big fan of yours. He knew all your work, and I felt like, you know, I sort of couldn't tell him that I really only had known one of your songs, but really well.
Right, exactly.
So I just wanted to call and say hello, and once again, I was so honored to work with you, and I love your song.
Well, thank you so much, and I certainly was honored to work with you as well. I was just telling these guys how wonderfully you were able to sort of capture that character and, you know, and indeed make her sing a song that just blew me away. So,
well,
thank you.
You did a great job, and I'm going to be listening for all the rest of your work.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Oh, thank you, Ellen.
It's really great to have both of them on the line at the same time. I was hoping, I was really hoping, and I know it can't happen, I was hoping that Jonathan can break out the guitar and start playing the lyrics to, or the chords to Still Alive, and then she could sing a little bit over it. Just to have some kind of weird geek moment that, just one of those really cool things. But I talked to Ellen, and she's like, I could only do the first lines. And she did the first lines on the phone with me earlier.
Yeah.
Freaked me the hell out.
I know, it's creepy.
Oh, it's very creepy.
Yeah.
Well, this was a triumph. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Yeah, right. She did a couple of those first three lines. The triumph, huge success, and just it was just.
It's very easy to convince yourself that a lot of the post processing on the voice is where the character comes from.
Yeah.
But to just hear her do it over the phone on the air is extremely convincing. She is very talented.
That was surprising to me as well when we first went into the studio, and she was, because she did a few lines of dialogue before we did the song, and I was like, oh wow, that's actually what she sounds like.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was. Again, just hearing that on the phone just kind of freaked me out when she did it. And it continues to do so. And she did a little bit when we were doing the interview earlier. They just kind of, oh Lord, it's just weird how they could do that. But so go ahead and tell us how did you get to this point in your life? I mean, how did it all become what it's become?
Well, you know, I have, I used to, when people would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I would say that I wanted to be a rock star. And then after college, I moved to New York and sort of forgot to do that for 12 years, you know.
Yeah.
And then in the meantime, I accidentally fell into a job that accidentally became a career. And I was writing software until, I guess, about 2 years ago. I quit that job to do music full time, and I did this project called Thing a Week, where I recorded a new song every week and just put it out for free on my website. And
awesome.
Somewhere over the course of that year of songwriting, I had a few hits, I guess, you know, these viral things kind of went viral, and before I knew it, I was actually starting to make a living this way.
Yeah, and my God, you did a great job at it.
Thank you.
I think, anyway. You actually went in the studio with Ellen and performed the Still Alive song, correct?
Yeah, I had a version of the song, with my vocals, and then I just took out my vocals and brought the instrumentation into the studio, and she sang along with it. But yeah, I was there with her while she was doing it.
How have you sung the song? I mean, obviously you probably have, but have you performed it live yet? Or
no, I haven't performed it live. You know, it's not in a great key for me because I had to write it for a soprano voice. You know,
that's true.
But I certainly will perform it live. I also I never know how an audience is going to take it because there's a lot of sort of inside jokes going on there. So if you don't know what it is, it might be a little puzzling.
Well, not to put you on the spot, was there a song you could perform for us live right now?
Over the phone without a guitar?
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you had a guitar handy. I didn't know if you're like one of those guys. It's like, why, sure. Like to hear it, here it goes. You know?
Yeah, I don't think he's an action figure, Scott. He doesn't have his guitar in his battle grip molded plastic.
Push my back and I start drumming.
Exactly. I just know there's a lot of people in the chat room listening. Who'd probably love to hear it right now, but that's fine. Don't want to put you out, but would love it because I've seen you perform live and it is great stuff.
Thank you.
Albeit having that many people around to throw out the zombie voices is pretty awesome as well.
Well,
so.
It's true what they say. The audience is easily three quarters of the quality of the show.
Now, there's some people in the chat room who want to call in, but they said they were too nervous. So hopefully they will.
Nervous.
I don't know.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I hope she's listening right now. You met her at PAX, and I'm not exactly sure how I could. I know she mentioned something about accosting you. So I'm not sure if you remember.
She would have to be more specific, I'm afraid.
Okay. So yeah, hopefully maybe she'll get up the courage to call in and ask you whatever she wanted to ask you. I talked to her on the phone earlier, and she said she had no problem calling in to talk to you, but now she's nervous.
She's
about
checking
it.
Out.
She is. She's checking out about it. What is like a typical day for you? What do you do?
well, let's see. I wake up. I count my money. No, a typical day, it doesn't start until, well, it starts early because, I have this 2.5-year-old and she likes to get up pretty early. So I'm up and sort of making toast and playing with toys and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, we have a sort of daytime caregiver. So Daddy goes off to work, which is basically the coffee shop down the street. I tend to spend a couple of hours dealing with email, making phone calls, that sort of thing. And then, you know, it depends on the day. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into doing live shows, so I may be making travel arrangements or, you know, having more T-shirts printed, or I'm doing everything myself. So I wear so many hats that sometimes I forget where I keep all of them.
Well, one of the questions that we got, I made a thread over at evilavatar.com. Are you familiar with Evil Avatar, maybe?
No, honestly, no. I haven't spent a lot of time there.
You will be now.
Yeah, absolutely.
anyway, one of the questions that that one of the listeners, I think, who's listening right now, but he posted a question. He wanted to know the process that you go through when writing lyrics. He says that some songwriters he knows uses a journal to collect ideas before writing any lyrics, while he himself just waits for an interesting lyric to appear in his head and start building from that. How does it happen for you?
Yeah, I do a little of both. You know, I have. I'd like to catch any idea that comes through, because I've learned the hard way that I forget everything if I don't write it down. Any musical idea that I have, just a little phrase or something, I try to record into my cell phone, you know, or if I get an idea for a concept of a song, I'll write that down. And then when it actually comes to writing stuff, I do fish around for. It's usually just a single line, like in the case of the zombie, it's that all we want to do is eat your brains. You know, that really was the seed that to me suggested what the entire song was going to be. And so that's usually the best thing, when I get a little snippet that is somehow emblematic of the whole story or the character in the song. And then it's really a question of building from there, and I'll write. I'll usually write with a guitar, you know, so I'll be playing, and the music and the lyrics kind of come at the same time. And then if I get stuck, sometimes I will have to put the guitar down and just go take a walk. Or sometimes I'll actually sit down in front of the computer, open up a Microsoft Word document, and start typing out lyrics until they make sense, you know.
Yeah.
So I approach it all different ways throughout the writing of a song.
Well, you know, the girl I was talking about who was too scared to call in, she's on the phone now. And she's there. Ann Jeanette, you there?
Hello.
Did I frighten you? I was too frightening, wasn't I?
Very intimidating.
Yeah.
Well, I just had a question for you about your whole creative process, writing 52 songs in 52 weeks.
Yeah.
My husband is a songwriter himself, and I know he hits roadblocks all the time. I'm just curious how you found all of that diverse material and how you got to that point to create a song every week on something really so different.
Well, I can't say that it was easy. It was about as hard as you would expect it to be. I did this on purpose. I said that I was going to do it on my blog, you know, and then just started doing it without really knowing if I was going to be able to do it. And of course, three songs in, I regretted it. I was like, oh God, what did I get myself into? I can never do this, you know. Honestly, what it really comes down to is, for me, the fact that I just felt like I had to do something every Friday. So what it really came down to for me was that I allowed myself to write bad songs. You know, and I don't mean that they ended up being bad, but I think when you're creating something, there's this whole period in the process where you really have serious doubts. Even if you're writing something that's ultimately going to be very good, you don't know it yet, you know. And at least for me, I always have this valley where I think, oh, this is terrible, or you know, I can never finish this idea. What I had to do, because I was just I had already promised to have a song every Friday, was actually work through those ideas and finish them. And that's what made it so painful, that sometimes I really didn't want to, because I wasn't proud of what I was doing. But frequently, at those, even those ones that I didn't like while I was writing them, when I would get to the end, something would happen, and turned out they were not as bad as I thought they were.
Much agreed. Thank you for all of that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you're really helping me out. I'm taking some vocal lessons, and I'm learning two of your songs.
Oh, that's great. Which one?
You Ruined Everything and Soft Rock by You, which there's a verse in there that's very strange for me to sing, but...
Yes, right, of course. I know what you mean.
Is this another line we can't talk about on the air?
Oh, no, it just says I'm crying in a manly way.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd.
That does sort of change the meaning to have a woman singing that. I'm not sure to what, but...
One last question. When are you coming back to Austin? Because unfortunately I was crunching last time you were here.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. You know, that was the first time I'd ever played there, and I was thrilled to see such a big audience at that place. I was really pleased with the turnout, and I had never really spent much time in Austin before, so, and I had a great time. I loved it. So I would like to come back for sure. I don't have anything scheduled yet, but, you know, it's a big country, so I try to rotate and be as fair as I can to all of the cities of this great nation. But
Austin would like to have you back. Our gaming community, we're just huge fans of yours.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you. And I will definitely be back sometime soon.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Good night, Scott.
Good night, Internet. Yeah, so that was the girl that wanted to accost you or whatever.
She didn't seem that nervous.
Not when she got on the phone. That's all it takes. She just got to dial the numbers. When we were at PAX, one of the guys that were in our group, he flew all the way from Belgium to Seattle. And he was there for the show and enjoyed your performance as well. And he was curious. He asked a couple of questions in the chat room. Number one, is there any chance you're ever going to make it to Europe?
Yeah, I don't have anything scheduled now, but I would very much like to make that happen. And it seems like, from what I can tell, there seems to be a large enough fan base, particularly in London, that I could probably do a show there and you know, at least cover the cost of the trip. And so from there, it's just a question of figuring out what else, you know, what other places I can hit while I'm there that aren't just a totally sad, you know, two-person audience.
Yeah, well, one of his other questions, interestingly enough, was that you did a performance in Second Life?
I did, yes. I've done a couple of concerts in Second Life.
He was curious how that worked, not getting any kind of, like, instant feedback, I guess. I really don't know how that works, actually, but...
It's very strange. You know, it's streaming audio, so I'm basically sitting in a room by myself with a couple of computers, and I'm on one computer, I'm looking out through my avatar's eyes at the audience, and the other computer is sort of handling the audio and streaming it out, it's a very weird thing because you can't, at least when I was doing it, there wasn't any way to talk and have your audio, have what you were saying be heard, so...
Right.
You know, it was basically playing to a silent audience. And then when I would finish a song, they would type applause into the chat, you know. But the other weird thing is that there's a delay because the audio has to go out over a series of tubes, you know, and get into the game. And so that actually,
those tubes get clogged from what I hear.
The tubes get clogged because it's not a dump truck. But yeah, the delay is weird because it would be like I would finish a song and nothing at all would happen, you know. So I'd say, okay, well, I guess I'll do the next song now. And then 10 seconds into the next song, they would all start cheering. So it was really sort of unsettling. But it was also really fun. It was like, you know, I definitely got a feeling that, you know, just a couple of tweaks and a few... enhancements, a couple of other sensory inputs, and that's the future, man. We're all going to be living in there.
Yeah, I have no doubt on that. I agree with you. There's you know, the PlayStation Home or whatever they're trying to do there that looks a lot like Second Life.
Yeah.
I'm sure performances will happen in there as well. One of the guys in the chat room wanted you to know that you made a couple of sales by being on the show tonight because he went and grabbed a handful of songs off your website.
Oh, great!
He picked up Skull Crusher.
Nice choice.
Your Brains, obviously, Code Monkey, and Tom Cruise Crazy, which is a very fun song.
Oh, excellent. Those are all good choices. I approve.
Go ahead and where's your next performance? Where are you going to be?
Actually, this Friday, I'm going to be at the Sellersville Theater in Sellersville, Pennsylvania.
And I also checked, it looks like you're coming to Atlanta.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, which is close. It's close enough for us to come out and see it, because we're broadcasting from Montgomery, Alabama.
Yeah, well, that's great. I hope you do come out. You definitely should. I've never played Atlanta before, but from what I can tell, it should be a big fun crowd, which means big fun show.
I don't mind driving to Atlanta for concerts. I've done it before. I'll see if I can make it a point to do it.
No, it's
this
just
time.
A couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah. How far is it from Montgomery? A couple
it's
hours?
Like 2.5 hours, 180 miles.
Oh, that's nothing.
No, none at all.
Not to the weird traveler that you are. No, it's nothing at all, I'm sure. So that's good stuff. What are you working on next? Any new songs and stuff like that? Is it like a constant thing or?
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to talk to you so much you choked.
Don't say new songs. Don't say that. No, that was an actual cough. I wasn't trying to be funny. I finished Sing a Week at the end of 2000, or I guess September of 2006.
Yeah, you're probably never going to do another one of those ever again, are you?
I don't know. I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not anxious to rush back into that heavy deadline heavy process
right.
necessarily. Although I'm really glad I did it. It was very valuable to me.
I got some great stuff out of that thing.
Yeah, and yeah. I learned so much about myself as a songwriter, and it was just a very powerful experience doing that, taking that risk, you know, and just doing the best I could with it. So, but you know, I've spent the last year sort of working on a live show, because I spent so much time writing that year that I didn't really have any time to play out. And certainly at the beginning of that year, I didn't really have an audience to speak of, so it wouldn't have made a lot of sense
right.
to do it. But so, you know, I've spent the last year figuring out what it is to perform live and how to do that well, and even how to play some of these songs, you know, because all the recordings are done in my home studio, so there are all these overdubs and background vocals and, electric guitars, and when I play live, it's just me and an acoustic guitar, so... there was a lot of work figuring out how to do that. So that's what I've been doing, and you know, occasionally ideas will come to me, and sometimes I follow through with them. But it's been sort of a rebuilding year, muse-wise, I would say. But I'm definitely ready to start writing some stuff again.
Well, that's great, man. Great to hear from. And we're gonna wrap up the conversation here. I don't know if does anybody else here have anything to ask him. Anything else you guys want to ask in the studio?
I've got nothing.
All right.
I can't thank you enough for your time. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And the song that's just embedded again in our heads, still alive, man. That is just that just so catchy. Seriously, once you're done listening to it that first time, the first thing you want to do is figure out how you can go back and listen to that. First thing you do is you go to the internet and try and find where somebody's put it, and
you don't
listen
have to play all the way through the game again.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, or go to YouTube or whatever the case, where you can listen to that song again, and you do it like two or three times, and you're like, okay, let me go back to Portal, and you play some Portal, and then you'll get up the next morning, you're like, I need to hear that song again. You'll listen to it about two or three more times. Oh my goodness.
Something new to wear out in the CD player in my car.
Oh yeah,
that's awesome.
You'll have plenty. One of the guys in the chat room wants to know what time your show is on Friday. I think he's out your way, or going to be where you're going to be performing, actually.
He's putting me on the spot. I believe it's at 8:30, and I'm actually playing with. Paul and Storm, who are some friends of mine who are very funny singer-songwriters, and I believe they are going on first. So I think they go on at 8:30 and I go on at 9:30, but everyone should come for the whole thing because Paul and Storm are very funny as well.
Hey, real quick, what's the strangest thing that's happened to you when you're doing a live performance?
The strangest thing you know what happened recently, which was hilarious? That I just had this coughing moment here. I was on stage and I took a sip of water and I had one of those things where it went down the wrong pipe.
Did you spit?
No, I didn't spit, but I started choking, and it was one of those, you know, like sometimes this will happen to you and you'll start choking and you can't, it looks like you're dying, but you can't. And all you want to do is tell everybody you're fine, you're not dying, but you can't speak. You know, and I had one of those moments, and it was really it was embarrassing. It felt like it went on for about 20 minutes, and then afterwards I couldn't speak. It was like I was all raspy, and it was very embarrassing. But it turned out okay. You know, people tend to like it when bad things happen to me on stage. They think it's funny or something.
Oh, because it's special, because it just happened to them only.
I guess.
Nobody else got to experience that.
Right, that's the beauty of live entertainment.
Your little back and forth with the camera at PAX.
Exactly. There's no way I could have planned that.
Exactly, it was great. Oh, thank you again so much for your time. Thank you again for your talent, your work. It's really great, and brightens my day. So.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, anytime at all. So thank you so much again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Oh, a great little talk there with Jonathan Colton. I want to thank him and Ellen McLean for being on the show tonight. And thanks for everybody that called in and in the chat room there. Lots of fun there. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll have our last segment of the hour. Talk a little bit about some COD 4 news that came out today, because we really like to talk about Call of Duty 4. Because we're not playing it, so we really want to talk about it. That's usually how
I've
that
got
happens.
To do something to take the edge off.
Yeah. And we'll also give a real quick chat room roll call when we come back as well with more here on 1170 WACV and Evil Avatar Radio.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake. And the science gets done and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive.
Welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
Oh, you know, great stuff.
We have Ellen on, and then you have Jonathan on, and you got to play that. So anyway, saving that for the end there for you. Anyway, let's do a quick chat room roll call while we're back. We've only got a couple of minutes left here in the show. Bullet Food's in the chat room. Mike O'Hara's in there. Shinoshi, also Klunka. Kevin Hoggy, our engineer extreme, is in the chat room. Straximus is also in there. Fishbang, the girl who called in and talked to Jonathan. Also, Tell Prydain, I guess that's what that is. Zilla Dana, of course, who you talk to whenever you call in. We've also got Slipstream listening all the way from Belgium. Nabokov Fan 87, Mott Wackorb in the chat room there. Kilaren, I believe.
There's a pronunciation key right below the name.
I'm not looking at it in that that form. I've got it off to the side.
Oh, I see.
That's why. So you want to take it?
Kaleren.
All right, cool. Thank you. Tyler Durden, 84, UW crashes in there. Flinks, Track Zero. David C. Gant, not Grant, as I called him last week, but it's Gant.
Good job.
Sorry about that. Also, B.A. Penguin, Nick's in there. Codicier, I believe, is in there. Ghost Bear 1, Rogue Hunter. I'm sorry. Laugh at me if you must.
I must.
Yeah, you really should. It's funny. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just talking with one of our listeners in the chat room, Bullet Food, and it's his birthday. So shout out to Bullet Food. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Bullet
Food.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Yep, happy birthday. Now jump on line so we can shoot you for your birthday.
Yeah.
You get to die every
you
how many
times.
You can
get on the plateau if you want. It's your birthday.
Oh, goodness, good stuff there. So speaking of getting shot, Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we talked about this earlier. You know, you got 16 multiplayer maps at the beginning, which is wonderful news.
I'm just guessing that, you know, the three maps they gave us had to be very deliberate. You know, mm-hmm. a large, a medium, a small, varying from, you know, outdoor to extreme close quarters battle. I guess we can basically expect the same level of quality, even though I didn't like. You know, I guess you got your least favorite. Everybody did.
Yeah.
Out of those three maps, I didn't particularly like Vacant, but.
But guess what? We don't have to play Vacant. We've got 15 other maps to choose from.
But I will play them all. I really will play everyone in rotation. I mean, that's saying a lot, obviously, because we haven't seen them yet. But I have a lot of faith in what they're doing. Well, not even faith. I have. It seems like a grounded opinion. I haven't heard anything bad, and there are people who have seen it who have said that it's, you know, it's fantastic. It's not just rivaling Halo 3. It's it's superior.
You know, you and I talked about this on the phone. If I sign online or if I go on Xbox Live once Call of Duty 4 is released, and I see a good amount of people playing Halo 3 and maybe 5 or 6 playing Call of Duty 4, I am so much more likely to jump into a Call of Duty 4 match than I am Halo 3. Probably than I am Team Fortress 2, but I haven't even tried Team Fortress 2, so I have no idea. But
that's something we need to do over the next couple of weeks. I really do want to get in and play that because I know that I'm not going to spend any time on it when Call of Duty 4 comes out. My budget for multiplayer time isn't as large as... Mm-hmm. You know, it is for other things. I've got single-player stuff I want to do. I've got other types of games I want to play. So.
And there's always work.
There is always work.
Getting in the way as well.
It is.
We were just talking about going to see Jonathan perform. He's performing in Atlanta. You know, I'll plug that performance. He's performing in Atlanta on November the 9th. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to try and go to that show on November the 9th and see him live. So good stuff. Good stuff there. What else do you want to hit on? We've got about 7 minutes left in the program. Anything else that happened this week or that's going to happen? You got Katamari coming out this week. I think that's the only one I'll probably pick up.
Did any of you guys get Puzzle Quest?
I picked up Puzzle Quest, yeah.
We still haven't gotten it yet because Dana was in such bad shape. She had the root canal and like that was like this whole thing. She just hasn't had a chance to chill out. So I haven't seen anything of it.
All I can tell you is I'm really angry at that game.
Really?
Because it gave me some really messed up dreams and I couldn't sleep. Really? I kept waking up every 30 minutes. Yeah. I have dreams
about swearing on the air, but you have dreams about Puzzle Quest attacking you.
I was dreaming about these little block grids that I had to arrange and match stuff on for some investigation thing. I don't know. I had my own like little quest in my head, completely separate from the game. And I wasn't doing any good, and I kept tossing and turning, and I'd wake up every 30 minutes. It was a terrible night of sleep.
Oh, wow.
It was because of Puzzle Quest. And I also want to say that sometimes it feels like that game's cheating me.
Really?
Because I fight like this big two-headed ogre thing, and he makes, you know, the first move, or a move, and like a ton of stuff falls and breaks, and I get a bunch of, you know, stuff taken off. I make a move, one thing happens, he makes another move, 5 more things happen.
Well, two-headed ogres aren't known for playing fair.
Yeah, no.
They circumvent the rules at every opportunity.
Somehow, anytime the new stuff drops, skulls manage to line up from the top just so that they break for him. It doesn't happen for me. One time, like the third time I played this two-headed ogre, the first move he made took off over half my hit points. At which point I quit and reloaded the game, and I think it detected my frustration because then the next playthrough was cake.
Right.
No, cake's a lie.
Yeah.
You've got to remember that, man. Cake is a lie. You know, I haven't played that multiplayer yet. I'm actually...
I haven't either.
I think I'm more interested in, like, I don't know that I want to even play the single-player part of it. I think I'd have a lot more fun playing against someone else, but I don't know how your level up works. Oh, I don't know how any of that stuff.
The quest mode's really fun. I haven't been able to tear myself away from it yet. Yeah. Because there's always stuff to do that seems really interesting.
Are you following the story, or you just like skipping ahead to the next puzzle?
No, I'm following the story.
Yeah, I'm skipping all that dialogue because I want to get to my next puzzle and play. So, but yeah, picked up Puzzle Quest. Had a lot of fun with that. Let's see, is it Virtua Fighter 5? Mm-hmm. That demo hit online today. So that's out there for you. But yeah, there you go. That's what's going on this week, and of course, next week we have Eye of Judgment being released, and then the week after that, you know, Halloween, fun times there, and then of course November hits us and slams us over the head with game after game after game. So, going to be a lot of stuff going on. So, anyway, anything else? We've got a few more minutes left.
Did you got Orange Box on 360?
I did, yeah.
Okay, you know, we never actually talked about that because you were on the fence, and I haven't actually spoken to you since we got it, and it hasn't come up. So
yeah.
We should definitely look for some time.
I want to put some time into TF2.
I really want to do it. I don't necessarily want to do it alone, so we should, you know, go in as a group. I just know there are fewer people playing that than on the live community than we'll find with Call of Duty 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And, of course, the weapons were released today. Did you take a look at that list?
I looked at it briefly. I caught the list as I was... leaving the house to come up here, and I know that it's the count was not necessarily completely accurate because they were counting things like the airstrike and things like that as weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's obtainable items, things that, you know, whatever, things that you can use. It's still a significant list.
Well, I noticed you get binoculars in the multi. I was like, well, I wonder what that is. There's also the Humvee turret.
Yeah,
in multiplayer,
know.
And I'm like, how does that factor in?
I honestly
are you getting
know.
Some vehicles? What's going on? I noticed they did include Desert Eagle as one of your handguns, which I'm happy with. I'm a big fan of the Desert Eagle, so good stuff there. And yeah, what else is anything going on with the Wii? We got Virtual Console stuff on the Wii this week, and I didn't even go over that, did I? We didn't even go over what we're getting on Xbox Live Arcade this week.
Did we find out? I didn't see the...
We did find out what we're getting on Xbox Live Arcade.
We found out about that a while ago, didn't we? Was this one of the releases that was from last week or something?
No, it was today. It was today when we found out about it. And we're on Xbox Live, we're getting Speedball 2 Brutal Deluxe from Empire Interactive. That's 800 MS points. We're also getting Every Extend Extra Extreme.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw that.
For 800 points. That's a demo for me. I just want to see what that's all about. You know, I've heard good things from the PSP side of things and the PlayStation 2. I want to see that. We'll see what that's all about because I'm not exactly sure what we're getting out of that. For the VC release that we're getting in the Wii today, it was Ninja Gaiden 2, The Dark Sword of Chaos. And, again, pronunciation, thief strikes. Metal Marines. Also, we're getting Gate of Thunder from TurboGrafx-16. On the virtual console, which, again, haven't turned my Wii on in, God, I don't know how long. So I'm just stuck on the 360, and hopefully soon maybe the PS3 with Eye of Judgment. We'll have to get that a go so we can talk about it on the next show. So anyway, want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat room tonight. Lots of people in there. I see Lon Lon Rabbit just joined us. He's from Australia, by the way. I think so, yeah. But he's been keeping up with everything that's going on with Smash Brothers. He does a day-by-day information upload. There's a gigantic mega thread on Evil Avatar where he says the next update of what happens daily with Smash Brothers. What was that?
That's my phone.
Oh, now you've done it. Gave me crap the other day when it happened to me.
I was going
to
say, that's all you're going to say on that? All right, well, thank you, everyone, for being... I want to thank Ellen McClain.
I want
to thank Ellen McClain and her husband for being on the show tonight, John Lowry. Also want to thank Jonathan Colton for being on the show tonight. I want to thank everybody that called into the show tonight. It was a great show, a lot of fun, and we will see you here next week, same time again, here on 1170 WACV for Evil Avatar Radio. Good night, goodbye, God bless.
Thanks, everyone.
See you later.
Thank you.
Good show, though. I really enjoyed. It was great.
They were both great, man. I'm really glad.
It's great talking to Ellen. Great talking to Jonathan. Man. Pulling that together. And
they're exactly the kind of people I like to hear from in a situation like this, because they don't. They're not necessarily the first people you think of. When you think of creating a game like this, and I mean they're far from alone.
Right.
But I have a deep respect for voice talent.
Yeah,
particularly voice talent that's comes from that direction, from that world. Essentially, anything that isn't Hollywood voice talent, I have a lot of respect for. Which kind of goes back to like why I was bitching about, you know, with Jack Black as something crazy.
What was that about? What were you talking about?
Oh, it's
Brutal Legend.
Oh,
Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend. The new Tim Schafer thing is on the cover of Game Informer, and it's like. That's all you need to see. You don't even need to tell me. I don't need art. I don't need title. I don't need anything. Just say some shit by Tim Schafer, and it's, you know, I'm all over it.
Psychonauts, great.
He's a name I'm willing to.
Yeah, you know, they can leverage Psychonauts.
Do what?
But nobody bought Psychonauts.
Nobody did buy Psychonauts.
Yeah. Well, you think anybody's going to buy this one?
Probably, yes, because Jack Black's on it.
Oh, that's right.
See?
Never mind.
And
sorry.
That's part of what made me angry again. And your description, it's about.
It's rock and roll
crazy,
funny stuff.
Crazy, funny rock and roll stuff, which is very much his thing. My problem is that's not what they're leveraging. They're leveraging the fact that Jack Black acts weird on screen, you know?
But, man, Tim Schafer gets, you know, more exposure and gets asked to do more games.
Yeah, man, the same way
thing.
No, you're absolutely right. The same way that, you know, BioWare being purchased by EA made sure that they get wider distribution, and that's a good thing, right?
Well, he's not married to Jack Black, so.
I know, that's a shitty. It's a shitty analogy, but it's how I feel. I don't necessarily like attaching what I consider to be good things to what I consider to be bad things, even if it helps in the short term.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying it won't work. I'm agreeing with you reluctantly that it probably will work. I don't like it. It's distasteful to me. But it's a me thing, and it's not an elitist thing. It's I don't like it the same way I don't like Matt Damon and Drew Barrymore voicing the two leads in...
Treasure Planet?
No.
Oh, no. Not Treasure Planet. Titan A.E.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know why it's Treasure Planet.
It's why I don't like it. It's like, there's the name.
I remember a couple years ago reading that a lot of voice actors getting kind of pissed off about the Hollywood actors horning in on their...
Yeah.
What they saw as their business.
There was an interview with
Hugo Weaving? Anybody?
Yeah. I mean, this was going back to like when Shrek was just coming out.
Yeah, no, I read an interview with...
I know, you're trying hard, man. I couldn't help
Billy.
You.
Billy... Zane?
No.
Is it the Futurama guy?
Yeah.
Billy West.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit peeved because he was like talking about...
Yeah,
he was talking about like what a Hollywood actor, even one who might be competent in a single role in a voice situation, will bring you. But usually you'll get one thing out of someone who's trained in Hollywood. But if you hire someone whose life it is to perform through their voice, they can usually offer dozens, if not theoretically hundreds of different permutations. How many times is Billy West talking to himself on Futurama?
Lots.
With voices that you would never identify as coming from the same man.
Zoidberg.
Yeah.
It's like...
Yeah. Zoidberg, the professor, and Fry are all in an argument. And it's all Billy West talking about. because he's got that wide...
And like the god of all voice actors, Frank Welker.
Yeah.
I mean...
Do a weird thing. It's got like three legs, two heads... It's really angry, and it's from like a planet that looks like this.
And make it sound like a blender.
Yeah, and he'll do it like that.
Yeah.
Genius. And you're not going to get that out of Matt Damon. You're not going to get it out of it. You're not.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
It's just kind of weird. I mean, occasionally you get a Mark Hamill, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill, really, really good.
Good stuff,
but it's not common enough. And I know that people think they need the name. I know that it supposedly helps when you.
Well, it's like, you know, how many folks heard of Tony J, you know? But,
you know,
you hear the voice like, I know that guy.
Yeah. I will say, though, I love hearing, I can't remember the the actor's name, but the guy that played Putty in Seinfeld in everything.
Patrick Warburton. Oh, yeah.
He's only got the one voice, but I love that
he's a
voice.
He's a character voice actor.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, those are good guys, too.
But he does an awful lot of his business in that way. Like,
yeah.
He's gone beyond, you know, not that I ever think he was. I think he was doing voice work before he was, like, at a point when he would not necessarily have been well known by his face, necessarily. And he also does a lot of work in that regard, so it's like, okay, whatever you might be doing over here, you're definitely, you know, doing some good stuff over here. It's like, why does Liam Neeson have to be... why does he have to be the older, like... I don't know. He's got to be Qui-Gon, he's got to be Aslan, he's got to be... like, he always, like, takes that role. When you think of, like, not necessarily the patriarchal, but the wizened benefactor or whatever. It's always got to be him. And it's like, you know...
I said the sensei.
Yeah. There's got to be other senseis out there. But whatever. It's fine. It's perfectly fine. I'm sure it'll be a good game in spite of Jack Black. I just... Whatever. I don't know that the guy takes direction, you know? I know that he goes the Jack Black direction, and I've never seen any variation in his work. So, when you look at something that's sort of defined by what the creators do to it, and you put somebody in there that doesn't take direction.
I don't know, you know.
What do I know? Maybe they always direct him to be like Jack Black.
And you could argue this, but we don't really know. Unless the interview said... Was it Tim Schafer's decision to go?
I haven't heard.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear, you know, and you won't, like, if we did interview him, even if we talked to him, I'm sure his response
would be...
No,
but they'll never say.
It's like, oh, yeah, great, I'm so glad to have him on, where, you know, in the back of his mind, is like, that wasn't my choice.
I don't know. I'm probably, I don't mean to complain too much about Jack Black. It's not my point. I'm not even really down on him. It's just, I think there's a lot of people who do good work in this industry that aren't names. And they're like, to do quality stuff, man. And I don't think we need people that, you know, don't necessarily have any interest in it or whatever.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. I can't really express my thought. It's a Hollywood name on a video game. And the way it's presented is, you'll like it extra because of this. Look at our little splash detail on the cover of the magazine.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, that's all it was. It's just distasteful to me.
I get that.
I don't know. It's a thing. I mean, we talk about this all the time. I know that always kind of comes back to that. It's another thing I can't be particularly happy with.
It does happen to come up quite a bit.
So do you have any time frame when you're going to get your hard drive back?
Well, the guy called me on Friday to tell me that, you know... Well, he said that I had written on there I had a 120. And he only saw 100.
Yeah, you told me your
thing.
Okay. 100, yeah. Because the newer models have 120.
Right. So I.
But is it just kind of like, whenever?
I don't know. When I shipped it out there, they paid for the shipping, and it was overnighted. Mm. So I'm really hoping. I was hoping to get it back today, but it didn't happen. Maybe it'll show up tomorrow.
I was really hoping. Yeah, it would have been nice. I'm just thinking about when you'll be able to play Orange Box. So.
Yeah. Well,
not really Orange Box. When are you going to play Portal?
Well, that's the thing, though. If it wasn't for all the other great stuff, I'd just give you my disc.
Yeah.
Just play it on the 360, but...
Well, Becky, you know, when I was telling her about all this, I was bemoaning the fact that basically everything we're talking about on the show is stuff I haven't been able to play because my laptop's dead.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you could have told me and I'd let you play on my laptop. I was like, yeah, but I didn't know we were going to have two people from the game on the show. Otherwise, yeah I definitely would have loaded it on my laptop and played.
You know,
at least I got to say
weekend.
Something about Puzzle Quest.
I go through the weekend, and Sunday's coming up. Or, you know, the weekend hits, and I'm like, all right, two more days until we do the show. Cool. I'll see what news comes out over the weekend, blah, blah, blah. Sunday rolls around. And already I'm thinking about, well, what am I going to use for the opener? Crap, I don't have anything for the opener. What am I going to use? And then I'm thinking, well, what are we going to talk about? And then I look over the news. And I'm like, all right, that happened. That should cover us for a good bit. That'll cover us for another good bit. Yeah, we should be good. And then Monday sits in, and I walk into that room, and I sit down into where I work over there, the production room over there. I walk in, I sit down, and I'll fire up Messenger and talk to Bap. And, hey, man, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, well, you know, I did this over the weekend. Maybe something will hit me then. On the way into work this morning, I was like, oh, Four Wheels of Fury. I'm going to use Four Wheels of Fury
for
the opening.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because, like, it's so much funnier if you know all the... in jokes. I don't know how deliberate it was. I mean, I know nobody. Well, I shouldn't say nobody plays. People have a lot of animosity towards it, but it's funny. It's a raid dragon boss, and a warlock drove into its face and killed it. That's a joke because warlocks are overpowered. You see, it is. It's a total joke. It's a joke that the warlock pulled aggro before the warrior, but you don't know that unless you play. So.
No, the only reference we get is, let's do this, and yeah. I'm the lawgiver.
That was still funny. It was still funny to look at.
And it's a truck, for God's sakes.
It is a truck.
In the middle of, you know, Warcraft.
That was a genre.
So, yeah, you know, there's that. And then it's like, crap, what about guests? Because it's so... This was so easy. This, you know...
All just kind of came together, didn't it?
Holy crap. Dude, you know... My regards to the press people for Jonathan Colton, because that was just like out of the blue, they get a call from Montgomery, Alabama. what does this guy want? And I'm like,
hey, doesn't really matter, man, because it doesn't matter.
No. She, you know, they're like, what is this call? You know, first I get some receptionist. What is this call in regards to Jonathan Colton? As for what? Well, we do a radio show, and I didn't want to go through the whole spiel because I'm like, this woman doesn't care. She just wants some info to pass on to this person. Like, we do a radio show primarily about video games. The Portal was really hot. She's like, all right, let me pass you on. She comes on, just like, sure, you know, I'll send me an email with all the information. I'll pass it on to Jonathan. 10 minutes later, maybe not even that, she responds to the email saying, Jonathan's going to call in at this number at 8 o'clock tonight, such and such, whatever, wherever he's at. I don't remember where exactly he was calling from. But, and I thought, my God, how easy is that?
Is how it works? You gotta be shitting me that this is how it works.
Can I call who's the press person for Gabe Newell? Let me call him.
I remember talking about this a long time ago. It's like, man, it doesn't matter. You got a name.
Yeah.
We've got an email address. We sometimes know what we're talking about. But we certainly know what we like and who we want to speak with. But yeah. It's a thing, man. It's not that big a world. It's kind of a, you know, in the world of people we would like to spend time with, either on air or in person, it's comparatively small, at least to what you would think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got an enormous community, an almost unfathomable community, but it's not very big on the creative side.
Man, honestly,
it's like theater, man. Theater's the same way.
Yeah.
It's like someone you've never met before comes to work with you in theater, and if you bother to spend any time talking with them, you've each worked with 30 of the same people. You know, it's how it is, man. There's a lot of movement, so.
And then the idea to call up Ellen, that was Google. Yeah. Google sends me to a page that's got an email address, and I have no, the email address is like nothing like her name. It's like JPL something at Comcast, whatever. And I'm like, there's no J, P, or L. There's an L, but there's no J or P.
That's her husband.
But it turns out to be her husband. Yeah. Well, I emailed her, or emailed that, and I started off because I don't know if I should say, hey, Ellen, we'd like to have you on the show, or this is for Ellen. Just to whom it may concern, we would love the, we would be honored at your presence upon the show, blah, blah, blah. Writes me back and is like, hey, I'm her husband. She would love to do the show. And it just, man, there like is. Tetris falls right into place.
So awesome with the
bling, bling, bling.
So yeah, good stuff, and it was great. And of course, once the show's done, I'm like, all right, what's happening next week? Who am I gonna get for next week?
Well, and it's, you know, it's so hard to plan ahead with stuff like that. The best stuff always comes out of what the week was.
And the week hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I don't like planning ahead, because every time we do it, I feel like we fall on our fucking asses or something. Like, it's uncomfortable. Like, I'm wearing the suit of someone who plans things ahead. And it's like, what? Eggersuit.
Yeah, we're in an Eggersuit.
It's about that uncomfortable for me. I don't like it. It doesn't interest me. Planning ahead does not interest me. I mean, not in terms of this, because the whole thing is derived from some kind of passion anyway. So it's like, what the hell's been going on, man? Which is, what the fuck have you been sitting in front of playing? Mm-hmm. And that's how we got here, you know. And sometimes it doesn't really get us anything, and that's fine. I don't mind.
Yeah,
I like doing it.
I'm not, you know, as much as I don't, as I'm kind of agree with you there. As much as I don't like to play ahead, I do. You know, we do know when games are going to be released, and I can get in touch with some of these people ahead of time to be.
because I tell you what, the biggest thing that I hate is such short notice for these people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, the show's, you know, we got in touch with some of the Valve people last week, and they were like, hey, we might can do this. But, you know, they couldn't. They couldn't do it because it was such a short notice. Had I written them a good ways back, it's a possibility they could have made some room for me. But,
well,
you know.
It's a tough thing. I mean, it's really tough.
Here's hoping next week we get the people talking about Eye of Judgment. Eye of Judgment,
that'd be really great.
They called, you know, they got back in touch with me. Someone from Sony got back in touch and was like, hey, it's a little tough because Japan made this and they're not really good at talking English.
Right.
He's like, is there someone on the U.S. side that we could get? Because they're not going to be as technical knowing about the game, but they may be able to answer your questions. And so I'm just writing them back. I'm like, well, just whatever you can do for us is great. You know, the listeners call in and can talk to our guests, and, you know, that's great, too, just to have that community involvement. So, and I never know what they're going to ask.
Yeah.
So.
Watch out.
Who knows? I never know what words, that colorful or otherwise, that they're going to use when we're live on the air, so.
Forgot about that Viva Pinata ad.
Oh, yeah.
Thing came up. For you, the skulls of the vanquished. For you, pants that fit.
For you, an amicable divorce.
That's a great ad.
X-ray specs.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to collect all eight.
All eight?
Of my Viva Pinatas. From Burger King.
Oh,
that's right.
I'm on a mission. It's kind of hard.
I don't think Becky even knows about that.
You better not tell her. You're in trouble.
I didn't know about it. I'm not going to be in trouble. What was that?
I think
somebody in the hall.
Yeah. Well, I figured that.
Yelling my name. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
You were singing that, weren't you?
Yeah, I know.
Huge success.
Doing after... what's the next part of the orange box that you're going to go in?
TF2.
After TF2, we already talked about that. Are you gonna go?
No, I. You know, when I first put the disc in, I went to episode one because I did not finish. I got a good ways.
You didn't finish it?
I got a good ways on the PC, but I never finished it. I don't know what happened. I don't know
crazy
what took
ending.
Over.
Good ending.
So yeah. I wanted to go back to episode one. So I jump into episode one for a little bit. I play episode one and
I
get done with that.
Yeah.
And then I jump into Portal, and Portal is just that. That was it.
It's not very long. It's a single sitting thing, really.
Portal?
It's best as a single sitting because we didn't really get
especially
to talk about
once
this,
you go through it one time, you could do the rest.
Well,
of it.
It's to begin with, it feels just like, you know, the first person puzzler, like everyone, like it's been dubbed. It's like, okay, I'm doing this thing, and you sort of pick up through the environment, but largely through. Gladys's statements, like the fact that she's gone around the bend, and there's actually, it's not a deep story, but you're totally convinced at the outset that it's nothing but a puzzle game, and it turns out to be quite a bit more than that there is a story, and it's so well told, and it isn't until sometimes afterward that you actually it occurs to you how few tools were used to tell that story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There was a discussion of some kind going on in the chat room when we were talking about things in the show about Gordon Freeman as a character versus, like, Master Chief as a character, things like that. Like, talking about the silent protagonist as character.
Love the silent protagonist.
Yeah. And it's a legitimate thing because from the moment you inhabit Gordon Freeman, it's hard to call him a character because he's you, and that's one of the things that makes it so powerful. That's one of the things that makes me step back and away from something that, from a situation that feels really hostile. You know, I'm less attached to. I feel less invested in the moment when I'm controlling, you know, Phoenix from Gears of War. You know, because he's so much who he is. There's so much that went into that character design and creating who he is.
He's got
an
attitude.
And I view him and control him in third person.
Yeah.
That's not me.
That's why I didn't care for any of the Grand Theft Autos after 3.
3 was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It had no voice.
No
voice.
It was
perfect.
It was my guy.
It was in an environment that was malleable enough so that you could, like, find a reason for you to be there. Not that Tommy Vercetti wasn't interesting, but it's like, well...
Was your guy in Saints Row? He didn't talk either, did he?
No.
No. Huh? It's... Yeah.
You perked up.
I did. I had no idea. So...
No, he's a silent protagonist. No, yeah, he's very much like the protagonist from 3.
Yeah, you can pick that up on the cheap now, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, good that game sounds pretty good.
Good
yeah.
game. It's... Here's the thing. People are right that it rips off from GTA. Almost everything in the game it does at least is good. A lot of stuff it does a lot better.
Cool.
A lot.
And it's got
yes, it's a clone, but it's a superior clone in a lot of ways.
It's got the Arbiter in it, if I remember correctly.
Does it really?
I think it does have Keith David.
He's one of the gang. He's your gang leader. He's
oh, really?
After things calm down over the next few months, maybe I'll pick that up when there's a dry spell.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It's good.
Good luck finding a dry spell, to be honest with you.
Oh, there'll be a dry spell.
It'll be next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for you probably. I'm just saying, Burnout comes out in February, I believe.
We're gonna consume the shit out of the game. That you're gonna do so fast. That's not gonna. So you're not even going to slow down, man. You're going to run through.
You're going to burn out.
Wow, I don't have a drum set in here.
I don't know. Wait till Rock Band comes out. Then you'll have a drum set.
You'll have a drum set. I'll come and visit.
Yes.
I'll have a drum set, but you don't come visit me.
Play online while you're at home.
Dennis can play on my drum set.
Exactly.
You got two people over your place. I'll have me and him and Dana on mine.
That's because, you know, Craftville and Montgomery. Oh,
we can duel online.
That's right.
Finally, we'll be our able to participate in your Wednesday night.
Is that even a mode?
I don't know.
Band have online play?
There's a drum off.
Is there?
Because they had that set up at PAX. For one day, they had a setup over on the Microsoft side. Two drum sets, and you could play drums.
I know there's online in Guitar Hero 3, but
there's online in Rock Band, I believe.
Okay,
I think there is.
Oh, I hope there's a Battle of Bands type scenario.
You know what I want them to do? I want them to make a Silverhawks game, and then I can use my guitar controller to be the cowboy.
Bluegrass in the Mirage.
That's what they need to do. Because I never understood that shit when I was a kid, but I was like, this is really cool.
Partly mental, partly real.
So like, I'm going to do that thing with my face where I like put a mask on just for doing this.
It's crazy.
Where's my wings? I can't find my wings in my pockets.
I'm running around elementary school with my jacket, you know, held out to the sides of my arms.
Great, good toys, too. Good. Really, really good toys. Well, good-looking toys. They weren't really durable.
That was Bluegrass was the only toy I had.
Really?
The silver
Copper Kid.
Yeah.
Copper Kid.
God, look at you guys, girl. Ugh.
He was a retard, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He like spoke in the weird whistles.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like that kid. It's really weird. Okay.
You know, it's so interesting to hear Ellen say that, you know, I wasn't too sure about the adopted line because I was afraid we would offend the people that were adopted.
Yeah, probably. But what are you going to do?
Did you see what they said in the chat room about that? Somebody said that
his
buddy was
a mom, or somebody, I can't remember who it was.
His buddy was playing it.
Oh, no, it was Track Zero. Drew.
Yeah.
Saw the line.
He said he laughed and then he realized his friend was adopted and he got quiet.
That is funny. A lot of the stuff she said at the end, that was really, really funny.
I hit the store before it closes.
The store.
The liquor store? Oh, the grocery store.
Going to the grocery.
Yeah. There's Winn-Dixie's open.
Didn't you do the grocery store last week when you left?
Yeah.
Lord, man.
What's up with that?
Buy doubles, would you? Dude, every time I go to the grocery store, I damn near pick up two of everything.
Oh, it's just a matter of what I can afford at the time.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's right. I don't go to the grocery store very often.
Well, at least you get to get what you want. I don't always get what I want.
You don't need to eat. Save up and buy a 360.
Hot dogs, no buns, I'm just saying. For like 3 weeks in a row. Someone hates bread. It's not me. Luncheon meat, killer luncheon meat, badass cheese, no bread.
You don't need them carbs, man.
I will relinquish my grocery duties.
No, you won't. Just buy me some bread.
You know what I've had? You know what I've had a few times over the week? Fair food.
Oh, man.
Fuck you.
Oh.
Speaking of the fair.
Fair food, come with corn dogs.
Oh.
Bratwurst.
Cheese on a stick.
Sausage.
Yeah. Fried cheese.
Fried cheese.
Dennis.
Fried fudge. Snickers. Fried Twinkies.
You know,
fudge.
This weekend was a Megan weekend, and we were going to go to the zoo, but we saw the fair. It's like, the fair! Let's take her to the fair.
Well, I could have got you some tickets, man.
And put her, she wanted to go on, you know, some of the ride stuff, so we got her on one of the roller coasters that
we were too big to go on. It was the only thing. It's the first time she's like,
I'm too scared to go
herself.
On a fair roller coaster.
Well, you know, she got on and it takes off and it looks kind of hard. I see her like little head knocking around. So I'm like, oh my God. And I, like, you know, it comes around the side and she's like got the biggest grin on her face. She's laughing, having a good time. I'm like, yeah.
Did you take her to Six Flags with you or no?
No. But okay. Man, 4 more years, she's going to love Six Flags. Yeah.
Or else.
Or else.
Exactly. God, she loved everything.
Then she
we went
can
on
be adopted if she doesn't like
it was
Six.
Great.
By the way,
I was proud of her.
You're adopted.
That's good.
You know what you sound like? Blah 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 blah. That's what you sound
she
like.
She liked the haunted house too, which
oh,
I was
cool.
When I was a kid. You know, just the fact that it was dark made me turn around and go back. I couldn't stay. She wanted to go through again.
For me,
again,
it's
Dad.
Just the fact that it's at the fair. That
yeah, that's funny.
Threw me off.
She's got no problem with the freaking haunted house, but she won't let me. Can't stand when I ask her if she got a biscuit for me. She owes me a biscuit. That's all I'm saying.
What are you looking at?
Looking at the Ravenholm achievement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know,
I feel that hanging over me, man. I really.
You know what sucks? I went back to Portal and played the dev commentary. Now I read it at the beginning. You don't earn achievements while playing the dev commentary.
Okay.
Stuff. However, I still went through there and I was like knocking the cameras off the wall.
Yeah.
I tried to get
all those, damn it. I screwed up somehow. I didn't get but like 28 or so.
I tried to see how hard it would be to make a turret knock another turret over with the guns. It wasn't that hard.
Yeah, so I did get that one.
I will give that a shot and see.
Yeah, I'm going to go back for all of those.
Those advanced levels are kind of tough.
I haven't tried them yet. That's
I know, you give it a shot. They remove some things in like certain parts of it. They're like, "Well, let's take away the floor and see how he goes through this."
Right.
So good stuff. It's got its replayability.
I can see really that it would be a bit more fun on the PC because a lot of times if you're doing some really unorthodox portal placement, and you wind up having to flip over a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll come out of a port and you'll have to flip a lot. You don't have very good control over your orientation in space on the control. And I think with a mouse with a much higher sensitivity, you probably would. So
yeah, flinging,
that's good. But
fun.
I didn't have any problem with it at all. I watched some of those videos. I was like, man, how the fuck am I going to be able to control this with a... with just a normal Xbox 360.
Did you have to look anything up while you were going through the levels by yourself?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
Hell no.
I didn't look anything up either. I was tempted
No, I wouldn't do that. I can't do that.
When I came to the first missile pod, that room where the first time it shows up, I'm like, how in the hell do I get up around this? How do I? I thought, can I grab one of the missiles as it flies by through the door and like?
I tried that. I tried.
What can I do?
Portal in front, portal behind, blowing it up. It was clear that didn't happen, and I was like, how else am I going to get through this other glass window? God damn it. So,
I thought I was at the final boss type thing. I thought, okay, this is it. This is my confrontation.
Yeah.
Whereas when you get to the final, it's so much more than that.
Yeah. I was overthinking that final confrontation as well. I was like, I need to go ahead and I need to hop up top, and then I need to like time the rotation of those concentric, you know, rotating things up at the top. And then, like, try to get a rocket up there in between those things. And it was like, no, man, you just need to throw her balls in the trash. That's really all you need to do.
That's all you have to do. That ball's talking to you. It's looking at him. The red one especially.
Yeah. What is that? No, that! What is that? That has numbers on it!
That's the other, yeah. They're like all different parts of Gladys' emotion.
All of her personality. So, like, you knock these things off and you have to grab this thing and destroy it. Mm-hmm. And each one has a fundamentally different aspect.
She's like,
one of them is, like, really curious.
You just burned,
like,
my morality orb or whatever.
And then one of them has the recipe for the cake.
It's quite a long list of things.
It's awesome. We need to find it, though. I told you, I saw a link on Dig. I couldn't follow it, but I saw a link on Dig. Somebody made the cake. It's kind of cool.
The recipe, actually, it's in the Portal thread on Evil Avatar.
Is it? All right. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
The one titled Portal Only. There's like a couple of different Portal threads, but it's the one that's got like 200 replies.
It's amazing to me that nobody's that I have not run across any discussion about Episode 2. That it's all Portal. I'm guessing people just...
There's a link.
Went to Portal, went to Team Fortress 2, and will eventually digest
There's a link. There's a link between Episode 2 and Portal. There's a narrative link.
I believe it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I know that it's described in some of those threads,
I was happy to see that it took place in some part of Half-Life's universe. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily any indication of that, you know? I always thought that it was simply a puzzle game that took place in some kind of isolated realm. That it was something a little more sterilized. And the fact that it is all over the place. I mean, you can find like, the little charts and stuff. Mm-hmm. The little PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah.
I was talking about a bid competition between
Black Mesa
and Aperture Science and Black Mesa. It was really funny.
And all the writings on the wall when you get back there. Those were kind of creepy. The handprints.
It was good. And it was really reminiscent. That was really, I mean, you know.
Did you find the one with like the pinup poster or whatever it was? The room that's got everything's replaced with a companion cube for the face?
Yeah. That
that's funny. Just, there's so much in that game, but yet so.
I'm telling you, man, it speaks volumes that they were able to do something so entertaining and, like, kind of, I don't know, fairly meaningful with almost no tools.
Very much so.
More with less, man. It's an indication of talent.
What are we going to call tonight's show? Originally, because of this, I was going to call it Surprise Inside.
No.
But I didn't know we were going to have what we were going to have.
This isn't even remotely as interesting as
our interview. No, exactly. Well, because I didn't know we were going to have that. So I've been, you know, just surprised.
If at first you don't succeed, you fail.
There you go.
That's it.
She nails it.
That's what I was thinking.
There you go.
Let's see if anybody else thought
That's
about it.
That's exactly what it'll be.
Cool. All right.
All right. Well, what is this? Episode 78 that we just
78.
Knocked out? What would this be if we were in game chat?
I have no idea. I quit counting.
I counted that up the other day, but I don't remember now.
We stopped at what, episode 26? 27?
I thought it was more like 35.
Was it?
No way.
Was it?
No, it couldn't be.
No. Go to the
episode website. 35 would be if we were doing it weekly right now.
Maybe that's what I was thinking. You're probably right. Yeah, that's probably what I counted.
I can't remember.
Doing it right now.
Hey, I know this is supposed to be like we're not actually recording this and not recognizing the mics, but...
That's there.
Thanks to Drew for updating our Wikipedia.
Yeah, thanks.
We mentioned it, I think, last episode, but I don't know if it ever got out there.
I was thinking about that today, actually.
Because he mentions in-game chat in the Wikipedia.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. He's like former host of in-game chat. He's like, no.
Lovely.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, you know. Friday nights. Thank God we're not on Friday nights anymore, because now we can go see Jonathan Colton.
Yay!
Yeah, I gotta find somebody to cover me for that night, if it's possible.
Yeah, see what you can do for that. That would be great.
Yeah, it's bad time. It's like possibly the worst Friday of this season for me to try to do that because of what else is going to be happening. But I'll try to do it nonetheless.
Cool.
Yeah.
We done?
I'm kind of hungry. I want to get some food.
Man, I just downed
how many glasses?
Two things of hot chocolate.
How many packets did you put? You put two packets in there and then a little bit of water?
No, one.
That's like a whole lot of sugar, a little bit of Kool-Aid.